All right, so we'll start with questions for Manny, and then I'll go back through. The first one I see here for Manny is there was a quick question if the average daily wait times are border crossings between nations.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they are. Okay, thank you.
Well, right. Basically, the border wait time study that we found is basically just at the border, not traveling through the corridors.
Okay. Okay, so we have a question here for you, James. What role has the Greater Vancouver Gateway Council played in developing Canada's plans, and what will other gateway councils play in the future developments?
We see the Greater Vancouver Gateway Council is a major stakeholder, and through the non-infrastructure side of the corridor initiative, there's been a number of roundtables and working sessions with academics and experts on the matter, and they've always been heavily involved, and we think that they're dealing with sort of a lot of the local groups is necessary to ensure that you're taking the right approach to solutions.
Okay, James, and we'll stick with you while we have your attention. So let me go back through up here because I know there were some questions for you at the top. Okay, there was a quick question. Do your route numbers, like Highway 401, go cross-country like interstates, or are they numbering systems unique to provinces?
Unfortunately, they don't. It drives us crazy because you'll be driving on Highway 401 and you hit the border with Quebec and it becomes Highway 20, and all of a sudden people think they're lost. So no, we wish it did, but it's provincial jurisdictions that set their highway numbers.
Okay, the next question for you, James. Are the recipients much like DBOM contracts with responsibilities of overruns? I'm not sure what that is, but you do.
When we have a contract, when we sign a contribution agreement, we ask the recipient to ensure they complete the project, and that includes being responsible for any increases in cost. And the primary reason for that is we don't get involved with the design, and we also don't deal with the day-to-day construction issues and project management. It would be kind of a redundant function for us. But to mitigate the risk of cost overruns for the federal government, if we're not going to be involved in controlling them, we don't feel we can sort of open ourselves up by covering cost overruns. So we, as horrible as it sounds, we pass that on to the partners.
Okay, thank you. And could you also describe the primary corridors used to connect the lower U.S. 48 states to Alaska for both rail and highways?
Sure, there's, to be frank, I don't know if the rail extends north of the, I don't know the rail network that well up north. The highway network, through Highway 97 in B.C., it connects through the Yukon and into Alaska, and that highway is actually known as the Alaska Highway. Canada actually receives a fair bit of funding from the United States for work on the highway through the Shacklack Agreement between governments, and that is the main road connection.
Okay, then I did see another one come in here for you. Some people work with U.S. shippers that want to access the Asia-Pacific Gateway Corridor through roadway linkages not on Canada's national system. Does significant federal funding exist to support improvements to non-national system highways, or is this mostly the role of provinces? And then also a follow-on to that, where does the authority reside to change truck size and weight limits?
Sure. When I talked about the national highway system, I wanted to give a little background on how we deliver our programs. But we do have programs that are directed to non-national highway system. And the Asia-Pacific Gateway Corridor Initiative will fund projects not on the national highway system. So we have a number of smaller local road improvements in industrial areas and or mainland like that that are funded. we do fund them. And the second question about truck sizes, that is a provincial decision. But Transport Canada does play a coordinating role to try and gather consensus on that issue and how we deal with things across borders.
Okay, and I saw another one for you. How far into Canada does the high-speed rail corridor along I-5 extend into Canada or up into Alaska? Not sure if you know the answer to that one.
No, I don't, actually. I don't. I'm not sure if Tony might.
Those are not existing high-speed rail corridors. Those are areas where FRA said high-speed rail corridors should be most likely placed. So they don't exist as high, we don't have any high-speed rail corridors in the United States, along the lines of what you think about when you think about the bullet trains in Japan and Europe.
Okay, and I think we'll move on to some questions for Tony. What year was the major truck route legend published?
Well, most of the maps that we have came out of the 2002 Commodity Flow Survey, FAF2. 2007, the survey was conducted in 2007. We anticipate getting the data from Census in the latter part of 2009, and we'll have FAF3 available sometime in the spring, early summer of 2010. All of the maps are posted on our website, but most of them were generated probably in the 04-05 timeframe. And the major corridors map is relatively recent. That's just some work that we've done probably within the past 6 months or so. That is also on the website, contained within Freight Story 2008.
Will an effort be made to formulate a list of projects of regional and national significance be developed prior to the next transportation authorization?
Very interesting question. We do not have any direction or guidance from Congress or the administration to actually publish a solicitation for PNRS. Like I said, there is the regulatory framework currently in place, ready to go. Should the desire be there to go ahead and exercise that opportunity and pull down a list of potential projects, we stand ready to do that if that's the desire of either the administration or Congress.
For USA corridors, do we have goals for mode split of freight, rail versus highway versus water, and also for highway, passenger car versus truck?
Do we have a goal for mode split? No, I think where the conversation is currently going, and this is all formulative, AASHTO has been talking about performance measures. If you look at what GAO has put out and what a number of the other organizations have put out regarding performance measures, I think there is a desire to establish performance measures for the system, and I would imagine we would let the performance measures drive the appropriate investment opportunities, depending upon what the targets are.
Okay. On your corridors of the future slide, what is the designation for the corridor from Indiana to Texas? Is this going to be built, or is it on paper only?
That is the I-69 corridor. A number of segments of that have been built. Most of the work from Indianapolis down to Texas, they have identified segments of independent utility. They have some of those have gone through the environmental review process. Some of them have not gone through that process yet. The alignment has not been completely defined for all of those segments, and a lot of it is simply waiting upon funding. The I-69 corridor got $800,000 in TCSP grant money to take a look at an innovative finance proposal where they could set out an RFP and try to determine what the appropriate funding mechanisms could be and whether they could toll the entire corridor or segments of the corridor. And the states that are part of the I-69 corridor are working through the details of how they're going to bring together matching funds to go ahead and utilize the funds that have been given to them to take a look at that innovative financing study.
Okay, here's another one for you. I think this kind of may have already been touched on a little bit, but talking again about the national regional corridor significance and if it was going to be on the next authorization, and if so, could you advocate funding, including caveats like truck parking, can be allocated to the next tier of the corridors?
Well, whether or not projects of national regional significance or corridor funding is part of the next reauthorization bill remains to be seen. That's all a function of the different types of bills that are working their way in Congress and from a number of the different associations to Congress. The corridors of the future, keep in mind, when the department solicited for the corridors of the future, it wasn't to define only those corridors that the department would be interested in going forward. We had 38 different proposals come to us, and the six that were selected were the six best out of the 38. Are those necessarily the corridors that the department would have chosen, left to its own devices? Some yes, some no. There are, all of those were individual states and groups of states that came to us and offered to come together in a corridor development agreement to think about how they could advance a corridor in a multi-jurisdictional framework, and that was the intent of what we did going forward. A number of those corridor groups have very aggressively pursued, I think, some really dynamic thinking in how they're going to come together as a multi-jurisdictional group and think about corridor development, where they basically take off their state hat and put on a multi-jurisdictional hat and think about things beyond the boundaries of their state.
Okay, and I think we do have another question that came in for Manny. The border crossing freight volume in Imperial County POEs has been increasing faster than the San Diego County POEs. Is this mainly caused by border delay or changes in land use patterns on the Mexican side?
That's why we're proposing to have a new port of entry in the Californian, Baja California area. That will be called a Mesa de Otay 2, which that will help alleviate the truck traffic mainly for that area. At this point, we're in the process of sending the licitation to hire consultants to help us develop the title, the concession. Most likely, the state of Baja California is very interested in acquiring that concession, and we're working very closely with Caltrans and SANDAC in regards to having a harmonized port of entry and not being able to go different directions.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, that was all the questions that we have typed in. Now, if the operator could assist with giving instructions on how to make a ask a question over the phone.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin a question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your phone and record your first and last name. The name is required to ask the question. To withdraw the question, please press star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. One moment. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. I currently have no questions on the phone.
Okay, thank you. I do want to just quickly mention that I will upload Tony's map. I know a couple of you have asked if we can share that with you. I will upload the file to the webinar once we get once it's over, so that I'll upload it so you can get it. And I also just wanted to make a brief mention about the FHWA Freight Peer-to-Peer Program. Let me just bring up the slide for you guys.
I do have one question now.
Okay, we will take that question while I'm bringing up the slide.
Mr. Ron Kerr, you may ask your question.
Yes, I had a question for Tony. I noticed on one of your freight maps that there was a gap between Reno and Salt Lake City on the I-90 and the Union Pacific mainline corridor.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious about that. Why was that gap there?
Well, the volumes of cargo moving between those two were not sufficient to wind up being on the map.
Oh, okay.
That's literally it. I mean, all of this is data driven. And so we looked at where the cargo was moving and the volumes and tonnages of cargo moving, and used that to drive where the corridors are placed. Again, these are notional corridors. This is one way of taking a look at the data that we have currently in front of us and to think about how we could possibly define major freight corridors in the United States. It's not designed to be a departmental position. It's not designed to be an FHWA position. It is simply one way of taking a look at the data that we have and using data to help define where the national interest could be.
Well, thank you. It was just a surprise to see that gap on your map. So, well, thank you.
Well, if you have any questions regarding the data, you can get a hold of us. I'm sure there's contact information on the Talking Freight, and we'll be happy to walk you through the data that we have and explain it in more detail if you're interested.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
I do have another question.
Okay.
Juan Vija, you may ask your question.
Hi, this is for all three of the presenters. The question is, other than the border coordination done by the JWC and the BTWG, are there any plans at the North American level to coordinate planning for freight corridors?
I'll go ahead and take the first crack at that, James and Manny, if you want to follow in behind it. I think what we can do, Juan, after we've figured out what the major corridors are, if that's the direction that the administration would like to take this, those places where the corridors from Canada, from Mexico, and the United States link up along our respective borders is areas where we could focus our attention. But I'm not aware of any initiative underway to coordinate planning efforts across the three nations for a North American continental freight system.
This is James in NORMI. I know there's a number of major initiatives between Canada and the States right now on specific issues, but not aware of a major initiative like that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
And once again, no questions currently.
Okay, thank you. So just like
Jennifer,
I said...
This is Manny. I'd like to make a comment on the last question, if I may.
Sure. Go ahead, Manny.
Mexico is committed to fulfill at least six projects for this administration under Presidente Calderón. However, we are very interested on providing most information in regards to our trade corridors that connects to the United States and further goes to Canada. Right now, the infrastructure funding in Mexico is very limited, as you probably know, also in the United States, but we'd be glad to work together and possibly increase it to the next level, that we would like to see more ITS and be able to share that data between the three countries.
Very good.
Thank you, Manny. So again, I just wanted to quickly, briefly mention the Freight Peer-to-Peer Program, which puts the public sector freight transportation professionals in touch with experts in the field and provides technical assistance in order to enhance overall freight skills and knowledge. The program is available to public entities, including state departments of transportation and metropolitan planning organizations. To learn more about the program or to arrange a peer exchange or to discuss participating as a peer expert, please visit the Freight Peer-to-Peer website. The next seminar will be held on April 15th and will be about the National Freight Performance Measurement Data Dissemination Tool. Okay, if you haven't done so already, I encourage you to visit the Talking Freight website and sign up for the seminar. And I'm just going to bring back up the address for you so you know where to go.
And while Laura's doing that, I would say thank you both to Manny and James for their presentations. Genuinely appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us on Talking Freight. It's kind of remarkable that we can have someone sitting in Canada and Mexico and the United States delivering this presentation to you. So my thanks to both of you for joining us and taking the time to put together the presentation and deliver it. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to help.
So with that, we will close out for today. I will be uploading Tony's map for you as well, so you can log back in and download that, or just stay online and I'll get it up for you momentarily.
And keep in mind, that's a notional map. We just kind of put it together from the three presentations, and I thought it kind of fairly showed where the different countries are in their corridors. And again, what I presented was a way to look at major U.S. corridors. Does not necessarily represent departmental or administrative position. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Adios.
Adios.
Adios.